Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Reese Waters and with me is Jesse Harley.
Hello. I feel like you can do that a little more enthusiastically, Reese. You've said this
on a few episodes in the past.
That's true.
And I don't care. It's just got on with, nobody cares.
All right, that's fair. I'm raring to go. I've got my hot chocolate and my hunk of cheese in front of me.
Nice.
Yeah. So nice. I'm ready to
break up the cheese and drop it in so it melts into the chocolate.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Well, I've got, listen to this.
Yeah, please. This. What do you got for us? Ooh. Oh. Oh, your seltzer water.
I've got Perrier. Radler beer.
Oh, and we're not sponsored by them yet.
No, that's just the kind of beer. That's not the brand name. I'm not going to tell you the brand name because they didn't pay us any money.
Oh, I thought Radler was a brand name. Is that a brand name? That's a type of beer?
It's not the one that's called Radler. It's a variety of that drink, which is beer with grapefruit juice in, which has been my favorite drink this summer.
Oh, that is pretty good, I got to say. Yeah, I've had those before.
It's a good summer beer. Anyway, I'm not getting drunk.
You should. Get drunk. Go ahead.
I should.
You're totally fine. Did you know that in Canada, it is illegal to be intoxicated on the radio?
Oh, good job. This is a podcast,
though. Yeah, it's not against the rules. It is illegal.
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah. That's what if somebody is like a functioning alcoholic?
Well, they hide it really well.
That's what, yeah, functioning alcoholics do tend to,
you know,
maintain a level of secrecy. No, anyway. But if they got caught, they'd be in big trouble. And
so, on today's episode, functioning alcoholics, and if you're considering becoming one, how to hide your beer.
Yeah. I wouldn't know where to start. I would be terrible if I was drunk.
Oh, my God. There's so many easy ways. You get a Gatorade bottle with the red juice, the red Gatorade bottle. You empty out and you put red wine in it.
I mean that I would just be so annoying, you know, if I was drunk. Everyone would just go, oh, my God, he's back. He's going to talk to us about really obscure things.
Back from Wales. Hair.
Yeah. Also, if I'm drunk, my Welsh accent just becomes more Welshy.
It's so the same with me and my Maritime accent. If I drink, my Maritime accent gets thicker, I've been told.
You just regress into, you know, a more pure form of yourself.
Exactly. I was actually in working at iStock Photo in Calgary about a decade ago, and they'd have something called Beer to Peer on Fridays. So it's like 4:30 p.m. They'd come over the intercoms and they'd be like, stop working and come to the kitchen to drink the beer that we bought for you, which is really kind of cool of them. And we'd all go in and we'd get to know another, and we'd have a few beers before heading out to the bars later. And I'd be a few beers in and my Maritime accent would come out, and I'd ask them like, hey guys, let's get in the car and go to the bar. And they'd all just laugh and point and go, get in the car and go to the bar. I'm like, shut up. But yeah, that's my story of my Maritime accent coming up when I drink. Did you enjoy that?
yeah, that's cool. I mean, but if you didn't drink, does that mean you were excluded from the fun?
Yes.
If you were kind of medical or religious reasons.
It's a city of alcoholics, Reese. It's like people started drinking on Thursdays. It was astounding.
So, exactly.
Alcoholics and yoga studios. That's what made up Calgary most, was alcoholics and yoga studios, which clearly, like, amazingly did not mesh, you know, very well.
Yeah, I imagine the people move in different circles, but, you know, they co-inhabit the city quite comfortably. That's good.
I gotta say, this cheese is really good.
Great. I want some cheese now. Anyway, we've done some episodes that have been heavy. I think I'd use that word.
Oh, God.
Emotional.
Do you have another one?
The episode
I hate
we did
those
on,
episodes.
We got sent one by a listener, and again, I don't remember.
Oh my God, you got to start writing them down or something, man. This is
they know who they are, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, but they want their name said out loud on a national podcast.
I don't know their name. I don't know their name. All I know is like a Twitter handle or whatever.
I'm sure that's fine for that.
So, anyway, this is not a heavy one. This is one that is, when this came through, I was like, this is the opposite of a heavy episode. This is just what Jesse needs to accompany his hot chocolate and block of cheese.
You know me well.
Okay.
What's
cool.
The title of this episode?
Toronto's clowns versus firefighters gang war.
What?
I know. Seriously. Clowns versus firefighters.
Gang war.
Gang war.
I could see clowns versus firefighters in a number of scenarios, but not a gang war. Okay.
So anyway, so this is Toronto in the late 19th century. Bit of a party town, lots of bars and brothels, and a bit Wild West, bit uncontrolled, bit kind of bit mad. As it had a good reputation for. So at this time, firefighters were becoming a thing, but they were private companies. They weren't like a municipal firefighter company. They were essentially private organizations, and depending on the fire company you would call, they had rivalries, and they would sometimes fight over over putting out the fire and who would get to do it. Very much like, have you ever seen Gangs in New York?
Long, long time ago.
This era was kind of depicted in that, where you'd have people arguing over who got to fight the fire, and then people would steal things and all this kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah, and they were volunteer firefighters. But it kind of became they don't have this in the UK, but you know, like fraternities in colleges, or like a
fraternity like firefighters.
Military. Yeah, it was like a secret society of firefighters, and they used a lot of Latin, and they had mottos, and kind of they clanned together to be this kind of, it was like a club, I guess, like a social club. You went around putting fires out for people.
This is the coolest club ever. All right. But
it's kind of not.
What are you talking about? You get to hang out in a fraternity, drink beer, and then, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're drunk out of your mind. You're half asleep watching your friends play some kind of weird sport that they played in the 1800s. I don't know. What do they play?
I don't know, football with severed heads.
Right. Yeah. And then suddenly there's a telegram or smoke signal. Fuck, I don't know. Like, there's a fire and like all kinds of
a small child with a scroll who's exhausted from running for 3 days.
A scroll. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad that in the late 1800s, they still used scrolls, and they unraveled this long, long scroll. And all it said is fire on 18th and 19th Street. Yeah, that's it. That's okay.
There you go.
Glad you had a scroll for that. And then, so like me and my drunk buddies would get up and I don't know what kind of equipment we'd have back in, you know, we'd race to the fire, drunk out of our minds, and have a good time. Like, that just sounds like a great club, honestly. Yeah. But I'm down for joining that club.
If I was trapped in my house on the top floor and it was on fire, I don't like the idea of calling up a drunk social club to come and...
Well, who else is there?
...and rescue me.
There's no one else.
Anyone. Anyone. just anyone. Anyway... So on the night of July the 12th, 1855, members of the Hook and Ladder Firefighting Company...
1855? This isn't even the late 1800s. This is...
No, this is
smack in the mid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they were going to have a party in a house of ill fame, which is run by a woman named Mary Ann Armstrong on King Street in Toronto. So they were all, they were a club, they were all drunk, they put out a few fires, they were going to go have a good time in a brothel, essentially.
Okay.
So the firefighters settled down nicely to enjoy themselves in the brothel, probably playing board games, maybe, you know.
It was a current brothel, like it was...
Yeah, it was an active trading brothel, in that sense.
Where the firefighters lived.
No, the firefighters didn't live there, they were just going there for a party.
Okay, all right.
I don't know, maybe they were horny because they put out so many fires. Who knows?
Does putting out fires turn you on, Reese?
No, I've never put one out.
Does it get you... hot? Oh, sorry, I couldn't. No, it's a bad dad joke, and I've
yeah, you haven't even got kids. Just, no, you know, you've got no excuse. So, anyway, so
if one single person across Canada laughed at that joke, please write to us and let us know.
If they like that
know
joke,
who you are? Yeah, my joke of you getting hot.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to explain the joke.
If anybody laughed at that, please do let us know. Just Jesse would really like to find out if anybody laughed at his joke. This is an appeal. I didn't, but you know, it was just an honest reaction. But if somebody did somewhere, please let us know. Thank you. Is that better?
It's like one little further than I would have gone, but yeah, that's okay.
So anyway, can we move on from your joke?
Yeah, no, where I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the firefighters had were there having a good time, and then some new customers arrived. And they were from SB Howe's Star Troop Menagerie and Circus, who was in town for a few days to entertain the people of Toronto. And essentially it was their clowns had come to the brothel for a good time. They'd had a good show, I imagine, made people laugh, and they were horny from making people laugh, maybe?
Do you have any idea what makes people horny, Reese?
Putting out fires and making people laugh?
Unless this is a Welsh thing. I don't know, but like...
None of this does it for me. I'm just... I'm just trying to guess what historical people from the past were into. So, but the thing, when you imagine a clown, I always imagine a sad man in his 50s who didn't want to be a clown. But that's what I imagine. But these weren't the clowns that I imagined. Sorry if you're a clown, by the way. Prove me wrong. Yeah. You might be
we're going to get some weird emails.
You might be a young female who's happy. It might be the opposite of all the things I said, so I'm sorry. But the clowns were also used to hard physical labor, so they would put up and take down the big top. You know, they had many roles in the circus rather than just making people laugh. They were essentially rigging these giant tents up, so they were tough clowns. So at some point, every
very muscular clowns,
muscular, yeah. Terrifying clowns. So imagine Pennyworth, but he's done CrossFit for 2 years. His name is it's not Pennyworth. What's his name? Pennywise. Pennyworth is the butler Pennywise. From Batman.
That's right. No, that's Alfred.
Imagine Alfred Pennyworth. That's
right. Yeah, as a clown,
he's training also with Batman. Yeah. So anyway, apparently two of them got in a fight. They were all drunk, and somebody knocked somebody's hat off. I mean, the details are a bit spotty, but essentially one of the firefighters was assaulted by a gang of clowns in a brothel, which is hilarious as a historical fact.
It's just one fight. It's not a gang fight.
No. This is what started it. This was the spark that kind of ignited this war. So essentially the clowns beat up this firefighter, and then they fleed because they were new in town. They didn't know everybody, but the firefighters were obviously very, very established in the community through their fraternity and like their links. So the clowns, the horny drunk clowns, ran off into the night with their muscles bulging, I imagine.
So can you just slow down and in like just with your delightful Welsh accent, just slowly say that last sentence again as if it's the end of a children's story?
Yeah. And so the horny drunk clowns ran off into the night, into the streets of Toronto, with their muscles bulging as they ran. That kind of thing. Did that do it for you?
That was good. Yeah, cool. I'm going to get you to do this a lot more.
So the clowns had messed with the wrong firefighters. I never thought I'd say that sentence. The clowns, so the Hook and Ladder, they were members of the Orange Order. So the police, the firemen, and the political elite in Toronto were all part of the Orange Order. And at the time,
Orange Order? What is the Orange Order?
So it was like a Protestant group. So there was a lot of Catholic Irish people arriving in Toronto at the time, and they were fleeing the famine. And because the famine in Ireland, the potato famine, which you don't sound.
No,
like
no,
you
I know what famine
of.
Is. No, I've heard of it. It's not something that I picture people fleeing from. You flee from a bear.
Okay.
You move away from a family. You know,
I mean, it's like gradually, slowly fleeing from deadly
<That's>
hunger.
<fleeing.
laughs> Okay.
All right, that's
okay. Migrating to find food. Is that better? Because. So anyway, because of this, there've been...
It sound like a herd of buffalo, but sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So there've been riots between the Catholic or kind of people arriving and the established Protestant kind of elites that lived there. So essentially the Orange Order were really good at getting whipping up an angry mob if they needed one for any particular purpose.
Whipping up
an angry mob. So essentially, the firefighters then whipped up an angry mob to go and attack the clowns. So, so the next day, Friday, July
I don't know how we can make a t-shirt out of this, but we have to try.
Yeah, like just exactly. There's a clown smiling, and it says "whip up a mob."
That's a firefighter. Yeah. Like a Tekken style kind of square off between a firefighter and a mob.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Fight amongst the up top. Yeah.
So, the next day was Friday, the 13th of July, and a crowd of angry men and boys gathered at the fairground where the circus was being held. So the local police chief sent, local police chief was a man called Samuel.
They waited a whole day. They waited until the next day this was a calculated mob. Yeah. This wasn't like an angry mob. This is a, hey, let's get a mob. We're going tomorrow, 9:15 a.m. Everyone meet at the corner. Make sure you've got your weapons, your hammers, your clubs. Bring coffee. It's going to be a long day. No, Bobby, you can't come. You know, it's like, this is sort of like this is how you whip up a mob.
Well, yeah, maybe like they were trying to whip up a mob, but everyone was asleep, and you know, they sent a few calendar invites, and it just took a while to get everyone. They didn't have social media, so you know, they had just kids running around with scrolls. That was it.
With scrolls, yeah,
exactly. So, Police Chief Samuel Sherwood sent 6 constables to keep the peace, and then sent another. He sent those in the afternoon, and then he sent another 6 in the afternoon. The situation was just getting worse and worse, and a lot of people surrounded the tent and started throwing stones and insults, demanding that the clown who had injured one of the firefighters was handed over. And circus wagons were set on fire or thrown into the lake, while circus people took refuge under the big top.
Oh, my God. Hold on, wait. Firefighters set the circus on fire.
The angry mob that had been whipped up by the firefighters.
By the firefighters, right.
Set them on fire. But also, for some reason, the circus people, they had wagons, which I imagine were made of wood and metal. For some reason, they decided to hide in a giant tent, which would be very easy to cut open.
Well, that's where all the angry animals are. So, like, if you want to have some kind of backup defense, it would be
a muscular clown with a lion on a chain. So anyway, it does sound like one of the Joker's henchmen, just to go back to Batman. It does sound like it. So as more
what is his name? Bozo. Bozo. Bozo.
Yeah, exactly. Batman would. Yeah. So because everything was on fire, somebody rang the fire department. They rang the hook and ladder company, who arrived and then drove straight past the flames. And instead started tearing the tent apart with their tools.
Oh, my God. Get at the clowns.
Yeah, to get at the clowns. So the mayor and the chief...
So they were expecting this. They were waiting.
They were waiting to be called.
Oh, my God. So they whipped up a mob to go and fight them for them, knowing full well that they told the mob to go set the circus on fire and that they'd be called in to put out the fire, thinking that there was no connection between them and the angry mob. And then when they got there, instead of putting out the fire, they went in and tore the tent down to get at the... This is insane!
And then...
Is this...
Yeah, this is crazy. So then the mayor and the chief of police arrived, but had little effect calming the crowd. I don't know what power a mayor has, like, against an angry mob, but...
I'm guessing very little.
Yeah, very little. So, but he was... The mayor was actually himself able to rescue one man who would probably have been killed by the mob, and a troop of militia arrived. I don't know
what happened there.
There's not much detail on it, but essentially is the mayor / hero came in and saved someone from being killed.
What do you picture happened?
The mayor, somebody that was on the floor, he was being kicked. This clown was being kicked to death by firemen, and the mayor threw himself on top of his body and was like, no, if you're going to kill this clown, you have to kill the mayor too. And they all looked at each other and just backed off and were like, I don't want to be the man who kills a mayor. I kill a clown, but not a mayor. So a troop of militia arrived, which seems to be a thing that used to happen in the past. There were always militia ready to go.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it just keeps getting bigger.
I know. So the riot, the militia managed to disperse the crowd and managed to basically stop the craziness that was happening. And
oh my God, hold on. I just realized something.
What?
So when this all started, it was the night before.
Yeah.
And so the clowns would have been out of their makeup and costumes because they went to the brothel.
Yeah.
And that's when the fight started. But the whole, they whipped up the mob to go the next day when the circus was open, which means this all happened when they were in costume and character.
They might have been doing like a matinee performance.
Yeah. Right. Like, so like, or at least they're getting ready to like, you know, so, and the firefighters were called in. So they were wearing their firefighter garb. So it wasn't firefighters and clowns outside of their day professions fighting. It was literally firefighters and clowns looking like firefighters and clowns fighting each other.
I hope so. I really do.
I hope so too.
But the, yeah, so in the end, the militia managed to sort it out and the clowns moved on pretty rapidly to, I imagine they probably went to Winnipeg where maybe they weren't, there wasn't such violence and no one knew who they were.
You barely don't know Winnipeg that well.
I know. But apparently one of the interesting things about this story was that because the police did such a bad job of dealing with this clown on firefighter violence, they essentially were, the public opinion swayed against them and it caused a lot of like changes and reforms in the police in Toronto and made them more professional in the end. They used to just give people a uniform and say you're a police officer now, and after that they became training and other stuff going on.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is the story. That's it.
I am blown away. This is, I mean, okay, so like I'm glad that you made it political. You didn't make it political, but you included the one segment that made this political, which was the mayor saved a clown, you know, so that allows us to keep our title being about politics. So that's
it is about politics because it's about municipal politics.
Oh snap. Okay. Yeah,
the mayor saved a clown, you know, he was elected, so
I have a question for, I have a request actually, because okay. I very rarely do we come across such an amazing, first off, okay, here's my request, because we get so few stories that are this juicy, this good. We get a lot of good stories, but this takes the cake. And the fact that I have a Welshman with a thick Welsh accent who speaks calmly and like on the other end of this, I have to ask, can you put on some like children's sort of background music and tell me the tale of the firefighters versus the circus performers in a children's book for like just 3 minutes?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't know if I have any music that I've got dramatic. I've got dramatic piano.
Is that it?
There we go.
It's not really a children's. It's not children. That's okay. It's like a
I think the dramatic piano could work. I've got.
Can you?
That one? Is that a kid's one?
No!
Hi kids, welcome to Clowns versus Firefighters, the match to the death. How's that?
How about you find some and put it in afterwards?
Okay.
I really want to hear the story. Okay, I'm cozied up in my
So you want to do the full pajamas story, but in the style of reading a kid's book?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Just like condensed into 3 minutes, Dr. Seuss style, but like your style. So like, you're calm, sort of like, everything's fine, kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, Horny the Clown wanted a good time. He'd been tooting his horn all day for the audience, and they'd laughed very hard, and now he needed some time alone. Horny went to a local house, where he would meet some new friends who would give him a big party. However, when he walked through the door, a scary-looking man in a fireman's helmet said, "Go away. This is my party. You're not invited, Horny." He pushed Horny out the door, so Horny grabbed a brick and brained him. Horny realized the firefighter's friends were just behind and chased him, so Horny ran into the night, his muscles bulging. He ran to the big top to hide and fell asleep on a big pile of hay. The next morning, he awoke to find a mob of men and boys shouting and chanting and setting his wagons on fire. Horny released the lions, holding them on a chain, trying to scare away the large crowd. As the crowd of firefighters moved in with hooks, shredding the big top to pieces, Horny was on the floor, being kicked to death by firefighters. Just in the nick of time, a friendly, bumbling mayor jumped in front and saved his life. Horny packed up his tent and moved on to the next town, hoping that one day he would find a good time. How's that?
That was amazing!
That was good. Improvised children's book. Horny the Clown.
100% I'm going to get you to do more of those. Just to let you know.
The Adventures of Horny the Clown.
Just inserted randomly throughout Canadian exactly. history. There yeah. you go.
He was there for every moment. Do you want to add anything before we go, Jesse?
Yes. If there are any illustrators in our audience who would like to make that into a children's book, please get a hold of us. CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. We love that you stick us in your ear holes every week. This has been a delight for me. I'm having a ball over here.
Yeah, I had a good time too.
Oh, good.
Cool.
See you next week.
Bye.